I'd like to ask everyone listening to our program this morning to be turning in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're going to be in chapter 1 here in just a little bit. We'll start at verse 16 in Romans chapter 1. I want to thank everybody also for tuning into our broadcast. We've had for over a year now a pretty loyal listener base. We are tracking those who are listening, both through those who are phoning in and telling us they're listening, and also through the metrics that TGRN has in place. And we hope and pray that through this means of outreach, this means of connection, we've been able to be of some service to you and your family through this period in which we've not been able to be around one another perhaps as much as we would like. We are more and more at the church here in Gunbarrel coming to more in-house services. We are opening up Bible classes and fellowships and things of that nature. And so that will create a change in this program. I don't know exactly yet what that will look like, but please just be advised that in the coming weeks, we'll be making some changes, and we'll certainly let you know about what those changes are. We have already moved our time period from an 11:30 slot to a 12:30 slot, but as we come back more and more into the building, those times will change as well, and perhaps even whether or not we have these online broadcasts on Sunday. But just kind of keep that in back of your head, and we will let you know as we go along. In the meantime, if you can, please attend with us in the building. There is nothing that replaces Christians coming together. It is, in fact, what God commands of us for our best needs and for our spiritual opportunities to be able to worship together. There are times when a person physically cannot do that, and that certainly be understood, and that's what this broadcast and many other virtual resources are for. But if you can be at services, then please put that on your calendar as something that you look forward to doing on Sunday mornings when we meet at 10 for our morning worship. Soon we'll be having our morning Bible class coming back online. That will be at 9. Not quite there yet, but getting close. And then Wednesdays we meet at 6 in the evenings. So please, please make that a priority in your life. And we'd love to see you there. Love to have you there. And would be encouraged by you, and hopefully you would be encouraged by us. I have lately been impressed, maybe a better way to describe it would be re-impressed, through my own personal studies, how so often just the simplest of Bible statements contain such depth and meaning for our lives. The passage that we're going to look at this morning in Romans 1, 16 through 18 is no doubt a familiar passage to you. It is certainly one that I have read and studied, many times. It is a short verse. It is only 33 words, but it contains a lot of treasure for you and I. Treasure about the power of the gospel. And I want to see if we can find some of that treasure this morning as we look at the subject, the power of the gospel. Let's read together just now. Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God," "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now we're going to forgo the rest of the reading of that chapter and just be kind of centering our attention on these three verses and primarily what we have in verse number 16. The Apostle Paul is the writer of this letter. He's writing through the influence of the Spirit of God. We gather that from 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, where the Bible tells us, Paul writing, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, a church of God's people whom he has not yet at this point met. In verse 11 here of Romans chapter 1, Paul will make the comments in which he will say, "For I long to see you." And so he is not there with them and he has not met them yet. Paul had been a lot of places in the Roman world, traveling, spreading the gospel. In fact, the geography of the Roman Empire landscape is dotted with churches of Christ in the first century because of the work of Paul and the missionary team that went about from place to place establishing the Lord's church in so many different places, some 13 or 14 or 15 different places that Paul stopped, and there the gospel took hold and the churches of Christ were established. But of all of the places he had been, he had not yet made it to Rome at the time he is writing this letter to the Romans. Now Rome, well, Rome was the imperial city. Rome was the capital of the Roman Empire. One archaeological source suggests that at the time of the first century, the city of Rome boasted a population of somewhere around 4 million people. And just to give you a visual of that, that is somewhere around three times larger than the city of Dallas. Paul was itching to get there, as we would say it. He was itching to get there so that he could preach about the one who had changed his life. He wanted to come there and preach the gospel of Christ. Let me tell you, there is a very clear mark of someone who is genuinely converted. And that mark is they are eager. They're not only willing, but they are eager to preach and teach and talk to people about Jesus. That's exactly what Paul is experiencing in his life. He just has to go and tell people. Now, we would not know much about where Paul is when he's writing to the Romans were it not for the mention of a man named Erastus in Romans 16 and verse 23. Erastus is mentioned as the chamberlain of the city of Rome. He's a chamberlain there. A chamberlain is a man who was the head over public works. When archaeologists were working in the ruins of Corinth some years ago, an inscription was found that identified Erastus as an official in charge of public works. Erastus actually built a road in Rome at his own expense. And that's what the inscription on that stone that they had found reads. Well, what that does for us then is that inscription ties Erastus to Corinth, where Paul is at the time. So it ties then Corinth to Paul, and Paul to the letter to the Romans. Archaeology has always been a friend of the Bible. Archaeology is continuing discovering things of significant nature that are already in the Bible, and it adds to the value of what we understand from Scripture. Archaeology does not give us a reason to base our faith in the Bible. The reason we base our faith in the Bible is because the Bible is God's Word. But what archaeology does for us is it helps us to see so many things that are already in the Bible. Now, if you're familiar with the ending of Luke's history to Theophilus, we call that history the book of Acts, then you know that Paul did make it to Rome. He arrived